This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. You are three. We are three. In fact, we're a lot more than three this morning. To the holy and undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, have mercy upon us, and may you have honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. In 1804, Thomas Jefferson had already drafted the Declaration of Independence, built Monticello, and was nearly halfway through his presidency. But in that year, he decided to take on his most ambitious project of all. President Thomas Jefferson decided to rewrite the New Testament. Well, not rewrite exactly. He didn't want to add anything, just remove all the stuff that didn't make sense. There were inconsistencies, implausible stories, and most of all, there was all that confusing stuff about God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jefferson figured he could just erase that, which he did. And I must admit that several times when I was in the seminary and I had to comment or explain on some scriptural passage, I wished I too could just erase it. But they frowned on that. In the beginning, wrote St. John, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the world said, wait, what? But rather than clarifying this doozy of an introduction, John goes on to tell us that this is very same Word of God, the one who is both distinct from God and is God, took flesh as a tiny, helpless baby in the middle of nowhere, Palestine. As a church, we resist moving beyond the Easter season. So, after 50 days of Alleluia, we ease out with two mega mysteries, Pentecost last week, Trinity Sunday this week, before we admit that Sundays can actually be ordinary time. Although fairly vague about our precise theology, all Christians proclaim that God is a Trinity, and both Roman Catholics and Episcopalians in particular emphasize the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. These are the themes of the feast days that usher us out of our 50 days of Easter. Our celebration today of the Trinity invites us to take time to contemplate what God is like, and what that means for us. We claim that God is a Trinity of being, three persons who are one God, a uniquely Christian belief that sounds like blasphemy to some world religions and nonsense to others. Now, I hate to say this, but St. Patrick and the Shamrock aside, the only way to approach this idea is to contemplate it as a mystery. That means to revel in awe and let go of the need for clear answers. God's Trinitarian being is a mystery in the deepest sense of the word, a reality that fascinates us, draws us toward God, and is too deep for our thought and prayer to exhaust. Elizabeth Johnson, the professor emeritus now of theology at Fordham University, inspires our imagination of Lady Wisdom, as described in our first reading in Proverbs. It was not a huge leap then for early Christians to connect the figure of Lady Wisdom with the Jesus who had walked among them, been executed, and returned to them transfigured in resurrection. They knew from experience that he made God present to them as no one else ever had. When their hearts burned within them listening to him, it was easy to conceive of him as the one who said, from of old, I was poured forth. when they experienced the things of which Paul speaks in our second reading, peace with God, boasting in hope, the love of God poured out in their hearts, each of these experiences conveyed them into the realm of what they could only name as the Holy Spirit given to them. Little by little, they began to develop a new understanding of God as present to them in three uniquely personal ways. The Gospel of John, written 60 years or more after the resurrection, is the result of decades of faith-filled reflection on the life and teaching of Jesus. More than any other evangelist, John portrayed Jesus' intimate communion with God, whom he called Father. John also explained how Jesus' relationship with the Father could not be separated from his promise that we, his followers, are capable of sharing that same relationship with him and the Father through the Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, "I shall not leave you orphans, I send you the Paraclete." And that is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now that you've all become theologians of the Trinity, that's a lot for a Sunday morning. So let's just say that Christians, that's us, believe that God is a God whose very being is communal love, and who created in order to share that love. That means that we who are created in the image of God are created to find our greatest fulfillment as images of the Trinity, all of God's creation. Many years ago, in a convent, I was expected to memorize an endless stream of what they call the maxims of perfection. The idea was that if I memorized them, they would make me holy. It didn't work. But the only one I actually remember still, I think of every morning, even now, it says that, like the Trinity, I must love God and the dear neighbor without distinction. Without distinction. I cannot love God and not love my neighbor. I cannot love my neighbor and not love God. Without distinction. When we realize this, we understand that the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, which we celebrate today, recapitulates everything we've been celebrating for the 50 days of Easter. If you have to explain it to a child, by the way, teach her or him the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and say to them that it means that God loves us in more ways than we can count. There is a story, of course, there's always a story, about a bishop of a large diocese in Eastern Europe. You know, the bishops don't come off so well in these stories, but he does in the end, so hang on. Who decided to visit every single one of his parishioners. After spending years on horseback, he thought he had seen them all, until someone told him about a tiny chapel on a remote island in the sea. So he chartered a boat and set out. Upon landing, he found it desolate and inhabited only by three old men. "Tell me," he said to them, "how do you pray?" They replied, "We simply stand here holding hands like this," and the three old men clasped their hands together, saying, "You are three, we are three, have mercy upon us." "That will never do," said the bishop. "Don't you know the Lord's Prayer?" The bishop spent all afternoon teaching them the Lord's Prayer. Then he returned to his boat, congratulated himself, and headed back out to sea. It grew dark when he began to see a tiny point of light coming from the island. It grew brighter and brighter until he could see that it was the three hermits. Holding hands, running on top of the water, beards flying in the wind, their faces radiant with the light of Christ. "Oh, holy man of God," said the hermits, "we have forgotten the prayer you taught us. Please teach us again so that we may pray rightly. On second thought, said the bishop, I think your prayer must be fine. And so now I'm going to ask you to do something if you feel comfortable doing it. If you don't, that's fine. But if you're comfortable enough to just reach out and hold hands with the person next to you, or both people next to you if there's two, but just for a moment. And I'm going to ask the altar servers to do the same. You're going to have to move. Just move over and hold John's hand. That's it. Okay. And so I reach out my hand to you since I can't reach you, but we are all together. And so we pray this morning the prayer of these three old men. You are three, speaking to God. We are three. Have mercy upon us. To the holy and undivided Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. Be honor and glory now and forever. Amen.